You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis. I'm the founder of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business marketing and sales automation. And in this episode, I want to talk about doing data right, or doing right by data. You know, I want to teach you all the two-sided approach to using data effectively in your business. And it's important that you learn and understand this approach because data is becoming more valuable day by day. And when I say more valuable in the sense that it's becoming apparent how valuable data is. Okay. So it's always been valuable, and it's, we're seeing it now more than ever with the digital age, just how valuable data is. Okay. So before we jump into it, if you're new to the podcast, make sure you listen to this podcast in its entirety and subscribe. We are in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're on YouTube, anywhere where you get your podcasts. The All Systems Go podcast is there. If you are a listener and you have not, if you are a subscriber and you have not left a 5-star rating and review, please do so. There's nothing stopping you from doing it right now as this episode is playing. It helps us get the word out that we are the bona fide podcast to follow and listen to if you have any desire to automate your marketing and sales in any capacity. And I want to give a shout out to Rochelle Renee, who left a 5-star rating and review entitled "A Wise and Witty Podcast, Pure Wisdom on Tap." I've had the pleasure of personally knowing and working with Chris after 12 years of studying and working in the new media space. I can tell you he's the real deal. Most insiders sell one thing on the outside, yet their business is completely different on the inside and perhaps isn't even profitable. Chris is one of the few who actually know how to cut through the clutter. He truly understands marketing and technology, two very difficult yet crucial elements to every business owner. I cannot believe the wisdom he is sharing for free on this show. This is quality, high level information that my business partners have paid a lot for to go get from Chris when he worked at Lead Pages, a terrific company, by the way. Can't wait for the next episode. Rochelle, I just realized I know Rochelle. I know it's Rochelle this is. So thank you for that rating and review. And I'm just honored. Honestly, I'm honored that this is the takeaway from you all listening and for those who have been following me for years now. So let the learning continue and commence with this episode. And let me start off by saying, value your information. Please do. Too often people are willing to put all of their information into platforms that they don't control, whether it's casual Facebook usage or social media usage or tools in your business that tend to own more data than you. It's something that's always terrified me with leveraging platforms. Or I should say leveraging platforms is correct, but building on platforms. So people who don't have a website, they just have an Instagram, right? People who do the majority of all of their connecting and business operation through Facebook. But you go to their website, there's no way for them to generate leads. There's no way for them to capture and own the data and information themselves. Social media is not the only culprit. There are also hosted platforms that own your data and do not let you see it. So I see a lot of people. WordPress, you've got to update all the plugins. And we just went with a hosted solution and we don't have to do any of that. I hear it. I do. And what I also hear is that clearly your web developer had your WordPress installation configured wrong in too many plugins. If you always were finding conflicts, I've been running WordPress websites for over 10 years now. Never had that issue. You have a plugin conflict every now and then, but it's never been cumbersome for me to keep my plugins up to date so that my website doesn't break, because I don't overuse plugins. I understand how to develop on the web, and I understand how to get the most out of my developer on the web. So that's one thing that I hear when people claim, oh, WordPress this, WordPress that. The second is I hear that you're okay not owning your data. Because a lot of these platforms, whether it be Kajabi, Teachable, Kartra, Squarespace, whatever, that is simple information that you don't own. What if I wanted to track web page visits? You know, what if I wanted to put heat mapping software on my pages to see how people are engaging with them? Go ahead and try that with a hosted solution. Let me know how that works for you. Again, this is information that you should own. You should know. You should have this at your disposal. The data you collect in your business is your intellectual property. And you're allowing other tools to control more of it than you, or have access to it, more access to it than you. I use Mighty Networks. And I've also at all levels, I've used it at all levels. And one of the things that frustrate me continually is the fact that they just don't give you the opportunity to collect more data, and the data that they collect, they own. They'll give you reporting, you know, and metrics and all of that, but you can't extract it all out of there relative to like the contacts or, you know, the people in there. So I say that to say it's just an example of a sore point in some of the technologies that I feel that I look for. And I'm just like, you know what? You have that. I don't. And I'm paying you to own my data. It's different if you're sharing the exact data that you're collecting with me. But when you're not sharing the data that you're collecting with me, that's an uneven exchange. Very uneven exchange. And you'll find that exchange with hosted platforms. I'm not against hosted platforms. I just said I use Mighty Networks and I use other hosted platforms as well. But I'm always looking for a way to own my data. OK, so just think. If you think about it, when I say the data you collect in your business becomes your IP, because that data also determines your success, right? Like if you think about it, your success is determined by three things. I can simplify this, right? The information you collect, where you store it, and the decisions you make off of it. Simple. Give me a rebuttal. I'm going to say that again. Success is determined by three things, especially when it comes to data. The information you collect, where you store it, and the decisions you make off of it. Prove me wrong. I mean, just think through times where you felt the most frustrated and failed the most in your business. You can always trace it to a lack of data, which essentially is saying a lack of knowing. Okay. You didn't know what your audience wanted. So you created some product, didn't test it, and threw it out there, and it flopped. You didn't know how a particular offer was performing, right? Maybe you're trying a new channel and you're like, hey, it worked over here. It should work over there. Just pour money in it, put it in front of people. Let's go. Right. Or you didn't know what direction to go into next. I see this all the time. You're posting in groups, asking everybody else that has no clue. Hey, what should I do? Should I do this? I've been thinking about moving in this direction. What do you all think? You've never seen me ask these questions in a public forum, because if I'm collecting the right data, storing it in a way to allow me to make decisions off of it, I have the majority of the battle is already won. Okay. So data should always determine and affirm your decisions. And when I say data, I mean your data, not other people's data. What is other people's data? Their opinions and thoughts for you. It's fine. You can listen to it. And sometimes you may get a nugget, but you've got to hold it up to the light of the data you collected in your business about your audience. A quick story here. I tried to hijack data from another entrepreneur. And I'll name drop. I'm not ashamed. This is when I was younger in my career and I didn't know. I didn't know what my audience wanted. So what I would do is the only person that I felt was like had a big enough following that I was like, man, if I could just get some of his following, you know, it was Pat Flynn. So what I would do is I would scroll through his comments on his blog post, and I would see the questions that people were asking him. And then I would start to answer those questions on my blog, thinking because you're asking that question to that audience, that this is a question that if I answer it, appeal to all audiences. But there are certain answers that people only seek from certain people, people of influence. So lo and behold, that did not work. Right. It wasn't my data. That was Pat Flynn's data. And if he answered those questions, which he did, I think he still runs Ask Pat as a podcast. When he answers questions that come up. So when he provides answers to questions that come up from his audience, his business grows. When I answer questions pertaining to his audience on my own, my business does not grow. The difference is the data is his. The data was not mine. So what I learned is I need to be creating content where people are asking me. Okay. Now that data becomes mine. Your question is my data. And now when I answer that question, it will do more for me than any other business. Okay. And that's what I mean by data should always determine and affirm your decisions, your data. Okay. It has to be your audience. What is your audience saying and doing? Right. Because the reality is this, you cannot afford to operate your business off of emotion and blind hope. You'll still need your gut, right? You still need those times where perhaps you don't have the info yet. Right. It's a new space or maybe you have the info, but your gut is telling you otherwise. You still have to listen to your gut. Don't get me wrong. But you always need to collect the information you need. You may not always use it, but you need it. OK, so how you position yourself to allow data to dictate, right, to allow data to drive you. It's called data driven decision making. Data-driven decisions are being data-driven as a marketer. And that process of becoming that is twofold. And that's really the core of this podcast. The first of the fold is the accumulation of data. Okay. This is how you collect your data and where you store it. Okay. That's what I mean by accumulation. So how you collect your data can be as simple as a web form or landing page, and maybe even as sophisticated as a application in person, right? How do you collect that data? And once it's captured, where are you storing it? Is it a spreadsheet, database, CRM? Where does it go? Your answer and process to that is going to determine the quality of data, okay? And here's what I mean by quality. If you collect data by people physically signing in on a sheet of paper when they arrive, when it comes to storing that data, the process from collection to storage can be it can be error prone because you may not be able to read their handwriting. You may not be able to make out what they wrote, let alone you may be able to read it, but you may enter it wrong. Perhaps the L was supposed to be an I, or a J, you know, was supposed to be an I, or you got O was a zero, right? Like you messed it up. You confused it. So the process from collection to storage is what's going to determine the quality. I like to remove humans from as much data processing as possible. I really do. Because again, typos, one letter messed up throws every can have grave have a butterfly effect throughout your business. Okay, so I'm not going to go into the various ways and tools for storage. What's bigger and more important is you have a single space that holds all your data. Okay, you need a central source of truth for all of your data, and I refer to this as raw data. And it's supposed to be ugly. You look at it, it's supposed to be overwhelming because it's just a bunch of rows and columns of data. You shouldn't be looking at this like, oh, look how beautiful it looks. And now nerds, they will. Oh, look at this spreadsheet. Oh, look at this CSV. Look at all of the data. Look at all of these columns. Look, I can run formulas. I could do this. Yes, for them, yes, it looks beautiful. But for the average person, you will be overwhelmed looking at all of those rows and columns. But its purpose is to hold all the data that's important to your business. Okay. So this is not where decisions are made. This is positioning you to make a decision. And in fact, it's positioning you for step two. What is step two? Visualization of data. I alluded to this in the previous podcast, right? In episode 37, when I was talking about project management software and productivity, I was mentioning this data visualization and a lot of tools. Some tools allow you to visualize your data more easily, right? When we were talking about project management and productivity. But this is true for all of the data in your business as well. This is the step most people struggle with. So step one, most people don't even know how to do, right? They think, let me not get ahead of myself. Let me just stick with where I'm at. All right. So step one, most people don't know how to do. Step two, don't realize it's a step. Let me say that. Okay. They just kind of don't realize that you're in the process of capturing and storing data. They use terms like lead generation, right? I'm generating leads. Well, if you just say that, you kind of miss that you are collecting and storing data. And when you think of it like that, where's the best place to store that data? Because it may not be in your CRM alone. Okay. So that's the issue with step one. Step two is people just don't know how to do this one, right? How do I make my data visual? And the visualization of your data, it's displaying your data in a manner that's easily understood. Because again, step one is just ugly. It's just all in, you know, dumped a data dump. But visualization, this is where you get your dashboards from. You can't visualize what you don't collect. And many of you are just not collecting the right stuff. And if you are, you're not storing it correctly to be able to visualize, because this is where you identify trends, patterns. This is where things jump out to you. Oh, wait, we're having a down month, right? Step one positions you for this. Step two presents it to you. Okay. If you can't visualize your data, you can't scale. So you can't visualize what you don't collect, and you can't scale what you can't see. You understand what I'm saying? So I have to be collecting the right thing to position me to visualize it. And once I visualize it, I can see it. Now I can scale. Okay. Every business needs a dashboard that displays all the important metrics. Okay. You need that. It's to help you remain informed with your audience and the performance of your business. And again, easily identify opportunities that you could jump on and get maximum impact with minimum effort. This is not a lofty brain exercise. If you and your team are meeting and you're just thinking, hey, what ideas do you guys have? What do you think we should do? And nobody has any charts, graphs, no historical data, no trends, no anything. Stop having those meetings immediately. They're pointless. Well, maybe they're not pointless. Maybe they stroke your ego. Maybe they give your company a form of camaraderie. You know, like maybe there are some effects. But when it comes to getting things done, measurable things and increasing your ROI, forget about it. It's not happening there. Not in those meetings. I've been in too many of them. People are on their laptop, on Slack, messaging, browsing the internet, only paying attention when they have to. You need data. You need data in those meetings, and you need it to be visualized, because numbers are overwhelming to the majority of the population. But everybody can look at a pie chart and say, hey, why is that so big? Right. Everybody can look at a bar graph. That's what, by the way, that's what I mean by visualization is graphs. When I say dashboards, I'm talking about graphs, pie charts, bar charts, plots, line charts, you know, things of that nature, right? So what prevents people from doing this? I talked about it, you know, with step one and two, but they don't know. They just don't know. They don't know of these two steps. They may be aware that it, you know, like you know how you could experience something and it feels good, it feels right, but you can never quite pinpoint why. And then you could experience something else and you're like, I don't know why it's off, but that's off for some reason. Right? Like that's what this tends to be. Is you may see a graph and be like, wow, that's cool. I never saw our lead gen like that. Can we do that? Can we do more of that? Right? So some people just don't know because they've not been exposed to it. And there was a historian of musical oration who was on the record known for saying, well, if you don't know, now you know. It was Professor Biggie. Okay. And that's what this is. You didn't know. Well, now you know. Now you know those two steps. All right. So that's one block removed. Okay. What's another one? People rely on tools to do it for them. Most tools, especially CRMs, do this poorly. And because you don't understand of storing your data somewhere and visualizing that data, the importance of it, you rely on these tools to do it for you. And what the tool can't do, you just accept as it can't be done. Right? Even Facebook. A lot of people rely on the reporting of Facebook. I don't trust it. I never trust Facebook's reporting. I've got so many checks and balances, you know, from Google Analytics to heat maps to my CRM. You know, like I'm checking across the board because money's on the line here. Right. So most people erroneously rely on the tools to do what they don't know to do when it comes to data visualization. Right. Another thing that prevents you from doing this, accumulating and visualizing your data correctly, is your data collection is not streamlined. And this is the biggest issue I see. It's one of the things that I'm intentional with making sure all of my students are aware of and that they don't commit this sin. And it's not streamlining your data collection. You could have various points of collection. Maybe a landing page is one. Maybe a webinar registration is another. Maybe a consultation is another. And each point, you're collecting different data, but you haven't streamlined that. What I see most people, even on a landing page, one landing page collects email, another landing page collects name and email, right? Like you do not have a streamlined process of at this stage, I collect this info. At this stage, I collect that info. At this stage, I get this. It's the term is progressive profiling. And all my sales folk, all of really my traditional marketers, are more familiar with this. It gets lost in how to do this with technology because technology introduces so many entry points. Right. But it's a huge, huge, huge problem is your data. If your data collection isn't streamlined, then your data storage is inconsistent. It's just what it is. You're going to have some contacts where you've got five things about them. Others, you only know two. It's very hard to visualize data with inconsistent collection. Okay. So when your data is not, the data collection is not streamlined, the data storage is going to be very inconsistent, which means your visualization is going to be off. Okay. If I was going to tell you which one is plaguing small businesses right now, it's that one. The next is a true solution is expensive. I don't know if you've realized this, but dashboarding and metrics, that type of software is expensive. You're not going to get $50 a month for that type of technology. And here's why. Because when I say store all of your data, the accumulation of data, and I'm talking about raw data, this is what I had an opportunity to consult with an enterprise level metrics company on behalf of a startup. And everything looked good. We needed more reporting than our CRM gave us. We needed more reporting than we could get out of the spreadsheets. We just needed to go deeper with the data. Okay. And in meeting with this enterprise solution, we agreed that everything was good. We said, hey, look, this is what we want to do. The next email communication they sent me was, let's set up a meeting and figure out everything that you want to measure. And the list was so long. It got to the point where I was scratching my head like, do we measure it all? Like, what? How do you choose what to measure or not? I never realized just how much you could measure, because what they were doing is they were going to implement a data layer on our website that could pull anything. Now, to pull anything, I need to know what to pull. Right? I need to know what information, because they're also charging for storage of that information. So what is this enterprise company doing? They're doing the capture, they're doing the storage, and then they're going to provide the visualization. And it was extremely expensive. So expensive that this company had millions of dollars and it just wasn't worthwhile. Oh, we'll just keep doing spreadsheets. Right? So a true solution is expensive, and that's not a knock against you. That's just the truth. That's what prevents people from doing it. You know, if one of the three above did not hit you, you probably saw that, you know, I found a reporting solution. It was just like $1,000 a month or more, you know. So how do you get started? If these are the hurdles, if these are the things, the forces that you face that will potentially be working against you, how do you get started with getting clean data? Visualizing that clean data. How you get started? Well, I'm going to give you the low tech approach. First is, you need to identify the information you need to capture in your business. You're not going to know this up front. This comes through repetition. This is reps in the gym, in the digital gym, right? A rep, you know, you're doing a bicep curl. Well, I generated a lead, right? You're doing a bench press. Okay, converted a lead to a customer. Right. You do a pull up. That customer pay me again for another service. And you do those reps time and time again. You start to understand, man, if I had this information here, I could shorten the sales cycle. How do we collect that information at this stage? Right. So identify the information that you need to capture. Second is, clarify at what point in the customer journey you'll collect it. Right. Sometimes it does hurt you asking for too much too soon, depending on your audience. Other times it could be a qualifier, but you need to determine, at what point do I collect this information and how? Integration is key here. I can't remember which podcast I talked about the levels of integration, but it was a previous one. It's maybe two or three episodes back. But it talks about sending data, you know, how to view integrations and the different types of integrations, which ones are the strongest, right? So that goes to clarifying what point you're going to collect the information and how. Because again, you don't want people transferring data. You don't want humans handling data. Okay. It's too error prone. The fingerprint is just full of errors. So if you could have, if you can transact all your information or transport, you know, integrate, if you could do integration, if you could send your data from capture to storage or, you know, wherever across the digital means, you minimize that and really eliminate that human error. Okay. Next is, identify how and where the data will be stored. Again, the lazy default is, oh, it's in my CRM. Stop being lazy. Oh, it's in my MailChimp list. Are you serious? That's where all your data is on your bit. Listen, if you're not feeling shame right now, you're not a good marketer. I'm sorry. I got to be brutally honest. If I just said all of your data should not be stored in MailChimp, and you just were confused, like, why not? You're probably in the wrong profession. But if that stung, if you're like, I knew it, I've always told them we need to be storing things somewhere other than MailChimp because we're limited by what MailChimp holds and how it holds it. I told them I've always felt this way. You are in the right profession. You've got what it takes to be a top marketer, honestly. So that should sting. If it didn't sting, I question your marketing acumen. And if you say that to your, hey CEO, if you say that to your marketer and they just kind of shrug it off, ooh, that's a sign. They may not have the juice. They may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer. Okay. And you're going to need that sharp knife. Okay. So identify how and where the data will be stored. There's no problem having data in platforms. What I'm submitting is it should not exist in that platform. More than likely, you need to export it from that platform to where you own it and can visualize it yourself. All right. So that leads me to my next one. Determine if this is the best place to centralize your data storage. And if not, export it, ideally automatically. So if I just said MailChimp and you cringed, or your CRM, I don't want to bash on MailChimp. There's so many CRMs out there that do data badly. That's why I called this podcast Doing Data Right. They collect it. They don't help you visualize it, and they're limited of what they allow you to see, or they want to charge you to see your data. How are you going to charge me to see my data? That's ridiculous. Okay. Anyways, so determine if this is the best place to centralize your data storage. And if it's not, export it. You can have mirrored images of your data storage. That's fine. What if all of the information in your CRM was also in a spreadsheet somehow? And they were mirrored. Every time something updated in the CRM, it updated in the spreadsheet. What harm is that? You'd be in a position to really visualize anything you wanted to, right? And then determine what metrics to visualize for the biggest return. So you're doing all of those things, and many of them, actually none of them, are technical. All of this can be done outside of technology. But to execute it, you're going to need technology. You're going to need to jump in there, right? So with all that being said, I hope what you took from this is you must be able to see your data. Remember, I can't scale what I can't see. I can't see what I don't collect, right? So I have to collect it, store it somewhere to visualize it so I can see it and scale. That's the importance of data. When I talk about scaling businesses and scaling through automation, there is no automation without information. Do you understand? Information is the blood that goes through the veins of automation. What are you automating with no information? Email address is information. Website they visited, name, purchase, you know, product they purchased. It's all information. There is no automation without information. And I'm saying this with an inflection because it seemed like it would be, you know, yeah, of course not. But no, some of you are not operating like you understand the importance of data. And I need you to. Because you need to see your data to scale. So when I say scale, it's inherent. It's already included in that statement. Data visualization. It's included. You can't scale without it. What are you thinking? Okay, come down. If you're somewhere lofty in the clouds, land that plane before it crashes. It's going to be the difference. You seeing your data and making decisions and committing to make decisions off of it continuously is going to be the difference in your ad spend costs being lower, higher lifetime customer value, selling more products, quicker troubleshooting when something isn't working in your marketing. This is the key. And look, I understand it could be overwhelming. Numbers are overwhelming. I get it, but you can't afford to keep flying blind. You can't, and you can't afford to not own all of your data. I'm all for the MVP, minimum viable product, to start off, which means I'm against custom solutions. But if it gets to the point in your business where you realize I need this data in order to scale, or owning this data is the difference maker. Listen, it may be time to look for a custom solution. Stop looking for this off-the-shelf third-party software. It may be time for that. The problem is a lot of people do that prematurely. You don't have your processes. You know, you don't have your you don't know what data, what metrics. So when I just listed those five things of how to get started, you can do those at low to no cost. And it's going to inform you, and it's going to create the specs that if you do need to go create a custom solution, you already can list off. Hey, this is the information we need to capture. This is when we need to capture. This is what they're doing for us to capture it. And this is what we need to visualize. These are the charts that we need. Okay. That's it. This podcast is not, this is not optional. If you're trying to scale, this is not optional. Data is the way. And it will set you free. So let me know who needed to hear this. I know you did. I know that this is one of those podcasts that and a topic that I've not seen many marketers get right on their own. So I know you needed to hear it. So that's a checkbox. But who else? Who's that person that you never see pull up sheets? Who's that marketer that does not use graphs or display graphs or talk about data when you're making decisions? They're always talking about what somebody else did. They're always showing somebody else's strategy. I knew a VP of marketing that did that. His whole career was just looking at what competitors were doing and telling the marketing team to do it. Terrible. She's still a VP, by the way. Be careful the VPs that you guys hold at high esteem just because they're at a startup. Don't trust them. Don't trust them. So who needs to hear that? People are struggling with it across the board. Who's always talking about they have an idea, right? Who's always talking about let's try this and using no data to back up that decision or determine the direction? Share this podcast with them. In fact, I would go out to say sit down and listen to it with them, because there's a good chance you probably have tried to tell this person this. Just like, hey, look. Can we listen to this together? And then at the end of it, say, see, this is what I've been trying to tell you. This is your point right now. You could pause and say, see, I told you. Have that conversation right now. After you've listened to it with them, this is your key. Now have that conversation. Okay. And if you found today's episode valuable, make sure that you leave a 5-star rating and review. If it's your first time, now is the time to do that and subscribe. New episodes come out every Thursday. And when you're subscribed, you'll get notified in your podcasting app of your choice of new episodes. All right. So here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated to training digital marketing professionals to become what I call automation service providers. These are digital marketers with a automation superhero cape or uniform. All right. They can go beyond the basics of digital marketing and actually do automated marketing and sales. Small businesses, they're in dire need of these marketers, these types of marketers that have the ability to learn marketing and technology and deploy automated systems in their business the right way for rapid growth. So if that's you or you know somebody, send them or you go to automationbridge.com/ASP. That's ASP as in automation service provider. So automationbridge.com/ASP to take the next steps and get connected with somebody on my team to assess if you'd be a good fit for our curriculum and community to equip you with everything that you need to become an automation service provider. The time is now and it's never been greater, everybody. I see it. I've been seeing it. I see it time and time again. I've been serving it and am serving it. Right. Like I'm in the trenches. I know this. So a huge opportunity, especially with the recent shifting in how businesses are transacting online with COVID. Huge opportunity. If you're looking for a career in marketing automation, please make sure you go to automationbridge.com/ASP. All the show notes and any resources that I mentioned and all other podcasts are accessible at automationbridge.com/podcast. You can subscribe there as well and listen to all the other episodes at your leisure. So until next time we meet again digitally, automate responsibly, my friends.